T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Brian Costello Report. Look at this. He's sponsored. He's sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By Van Buren Buick, Buick GMC in Garden City Park. Of course, I assume named after the former president, Martin Van Buren.
Oh, one of the greats.
I mean, I don't know.
No, he was not one of the greats.
His actual nickname during his administration was Van Ruin because they blamed him for the economy. He was actually pretty good because you know the phrase okay?
Right.
Came from him.
Martin Van Buren?
That's right. Old Kinderhook.
Old Kinderhook.
Look at these factoids.
Well, I tell you, man. Brian, we start getting into this presidential stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's painful.
Brian is brought to you by Van Buren Buick GMC in Garden City Park, family owned and operated since 1935, and by CSEA Local 830. We work for you. Brian!
Brian, how are you?
It's great to hear your voice, Joe.
Brian, thank you. And let me say this, too. Brian, I appreciate the support, Brian. Thank you. I really do.
Always. I'm very grateful to you guys for what you've done for me, and I'm glad to hear you back.
Well, thank you very much. And my day was topped off yesterday, as I said earlier, by what I saw from my football team last night. And, I, maybe they could have won this game, but for them to go out there and do what they did and for the quarterback to look the way he did, I mean, this was off the charts last night, Brian. It really was.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rare day where everything went right for the Jets other than the first play. And who cares after what he did after that? It was really a stunning performance in my eyes. I didn't see this coming at all. You know, I thought it could be a close game. I didn't think the Lions were going to, you know, kill them or anything, but for the Jets to go out and do what they did in that third quarter was just incredible. I can't remember a sequence like that from the Jets ever.
They scored 31 points, right? It's the all-time record for a quarter, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, it was the first time since 1950 that a team scored that many points in the third quarter.
Wow.
And the first time for the Jets that they scored that many points in any quarter since 2008 when, remember that game against Arizona with Favre?
Oh, I was at that. That's the game he threw 6 touchdown passes in that game. That's the game where Anquan Boldin got smacked by Eric Smith in the end zone.
They scored 34 in the first quarter that day.
Yep.
But you know what that also was that day?
I know. That was the last game of the season for the Mets.
Yes, at Chase Stadium.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that was the same thing.
You're right.
Oh, memories.
Yes. And they wore the stupid Titan jerseys that day, too.
It was really a stunning performance by the Jets.
It was pointed out on Twitter by Tommy Beer, who's usually a basketball guy, and Giant fans, close your ears for this, that the Jets scored more points in the third quarter than the Giants have scored in any game since 2015.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
That really is unbelievable.
I mean, it is kind of unbelievable.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, I saw a tweet this morning that of all the teams that didn't score 31 points in a game on Sunday, you know, this week, I mean, it was more than half the league didn't score that many points in the game. So for the Jets to do that and to do it with a defensive touchdown, which we haven't seen since 2013, and a punt return touchdown, which we haven't seen since 2012, just made it all the more amazing.
Well, how about in the same game? I mean, I guess it was 2011 the last time they did it in the same game. I thought it
12.
Was it 2012?
First game of 2012. Remember that Bills game?
Oh, when they killed them.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Early return, and Cromartie, I think, had an interception return for a touchdown.
Right.
Similar game. They won 48-28 that day over the Bills.
I thought it was like 1986, maybe. It was the last time.
I saw Brent Boyer after the game, the special teams coach, and we have a session with him once a week, and it's usually pretty painful 15 minutes for Brandt, I think, as we quiz him about all the things that went wrong on special teams every week. So I said to him, you're going to get a good one this week. And he said, finally, for once.
Yeah. Andre Roberts was tremendous in his game. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Because you look at the touchdown, you know, we're going to focus on that, but the return in the first quarter, the 43-yard return,
touchdown
set up that first score and
set
kind
up
of
the
settled
drive.
Everything down. Yep. You know, it just settled everything down. So that was really huge.
Yeah, set him up at the Lion 32. They were already in field goal range because of his punt return. What went through your mind? Because everyone had a different reaction. Joe mentioned at the top of the show, he laughed.
I did.
Sam threw the pick six.
I was cracking up.
I cursed a little bit. My wife, actually, who was going to watch the game with me, decided to leave the room as soon as Darnold threw the pick six. She said, you know what? I'll catch you later. She did come back for the second half. Good job out of her. But what's going through your mind in the booth when that happens?
You know, this could get ugly early. But then I kind of watched the sideline and the body language of everyone, and it seemed like he was fine, and that's what we've seen from him throughout training camp, throughout his time here, is his poise is just remarkable for a 21-year-old. He just, nothing seems to faze him. And he went to the sideline, he looked okay, and Trumaine Johnson, I actually saw after the extra point, he was on the field for the extra point, and he came running off, and he was waving his arms down, like, relax, to the entire offense. And you kind of could see, it looked like they were going to settle down, and, you know, he just went from there. But when you first saw it, of course, you know, here we go. The same old Jets, that kind of stuff went through my head, of course. But they really responded, and Darnold just responded unbelievably.
I thought the best moments for Darnold in this game, after they come back to tie it at 17-17, and you're thinking, here we go, the Lions are going to, what's going to happen from here? As Evan said, where are we going from here in this game? And they go right down the field, 75-yard drive, whatever it was, and he leads them to that touchdown to Quincy Enunwa. And how about him? Welcome back, Quincy Enunwa. I thought that was the most impressive moment for Darnold. That drive after to answer the tying touchdown.
I agree with you. You know, and that's something that was a problem for the Jets last year and in past years, where they're leading at halftime and then you see them collapse in the second half or the fourth quarter.
Right. Yep.
They don't hold on the lead, and here they go. It was a perfect answer, you know, from him and the offense. And, you know, in terms of a drive, I thought that was the best moment. There were some throws, too, where you were like, holy cow, he just did something, you know, that only elite quarterbacks can do. That throw to Quincy that was reviewed down in the red zone, you know, where he avoided the rush, kept the play alive.
That was on the first touchdown drive.
Yep. Oh, I mean, what a throw that was. And the throw to Robbie, obviously, for the touchdown was a beautiful throw. But, you know, I think they've got one. You know, you don't want to overreact to one game. But now watching him for months and watching him do this, you know, he looks like the real deal. I'll be surprised, you know, he's going to have some bumps along the road here, but I'll be surprised if in a few years he's not the established franchise quarterback of this team.
You know what, let me say one thing that bothered me last night about the game, beside that stupid call on 3rd-and-1 when they pitched it to Robbie Anderson. Okay, at the time, that was a big call at that time in the game. That's the kind of game. I'm thinking at that point, I think they were up 10-7. I'm saying this is the kind of stupid call that could change the whole game around, to be very honest. But, you know, the other thing that bothered me beside that one call, and of course I'm nitpicking here, why was Darnold still in the game with the score 48-17? Why is he in that game? I mean, that bothered me. But get him out, please.
I wasn't bothered that he was in the game until they threw it.
Yeah, right. He was throwing passes, right?
Yeah. If he's just in there to hand the ball off, okay, it's a minimal risk. And it's kind of a weird situation with Josh McCown, right? You put the veteran quarterback in there and mop up duty. I don't know. I don't know how that would be viewed in the locker room or whatever. But maybe that's why he didn't do it. But then when they threw the ball in that play, I was like, oh my god, they're going to get this guy hurt doing that. So.
Right.
Yeah, but small nitpicks on a night of otherwise good things. And the 3rd-and-1 call was brutal. But I thought Bates had a good game overall.
Yep.
I thought he did it. He let Darnold play. You know, they didn't put handcuffs on him. He made some nice calls, and so he did a good job other than that 3rd-and-1.
I like, and you know, as bad as that play call was, I loved it was a 3rd-and-2 from midfield. They have shotgun, empty backfield, and they call a run play for Sam Darnold. I thought that was a pretty good play.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That
rollout.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's got some wheels.
Yeah.
He can move a little bit. He's not Michael Vick or anything, but he can move around. And I thought that was a very good call.
His pocket presence is tremendous. I mean, this is a thing you can't teach, and this is, you know, you're saying he looks like the real deal. He feels the pressure. I mean, this kid feels the pressure coming. He really does.
Yeah, he does things he can't coach, you know, and that's one of them. And I actually had the privilege of going out there last year to USC in the summer because the story was, the Jets are going to be 0-16 and have no one
course.
And the Post sent me out there to do a Darnold story, and they let me watch practice for like 3 days, and you could stand behind the offense, and I could see it then. Like, his eyes never leave downfield. His feet are just, you know, he just takes like 2 steps to the left to avoid the rush and make a throw. He impressed me then, and he's been doing it this whole time. it's remarkable how instinctual a player he is.
And I still can't, and I mentioned this earlier, I've mentioned this throughout the last 7 months because I can't get over it, that they ended up with him. Here you are going to California because they're going to go 0-16.
Right.
Wait a second, they're not going 0-16. They're going to win five games. They're going to pick six. They'll trade up to three, but they're still not getting Sam Darnold.
Right.
And then the Browns and Giants pass on him, and here he is. The story of how they got him, I think that's going to be one of those stories we're going to repeat for the next 10 years maybe.
Hopefully longer.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wrote a story about draft night where, you know, Mike Maccagney is sitting there with Brian Heimerdinger, his right-hand man, next to him. And they're just sitting there watching as the Giants are on the clock. And they're on the phone with the guys in Dallas, the Jets guys who are watching the Giants guys in Dallas, waiting to see if they pick up the phone, which would indicate a trade. Because that's what they were afraid of.
Right,
they weren't
right,
the Giants
right.
were going to take up. They were afraid the Broncos were going to jump up and draft him. And, you know, so they're watching. And then as the Giants hand in the card, you know, they go, oh, my God, we're going to get him. We're going to get him. He's going to fall to us. You know, could be a huge moment in Jets franchise history. We'll see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking to the great Brian Costello of the New York Post, of course, the just unbelievable win by the Jets last night on opening night in Detroit. The other things, too, from this game, and you know, obviously Darnold, but they got three number one picks on that defense that, to me, have to really start to be that kind of guy. Now, Leonard Williams was okay last night, but Darren Lee, who I didn't even think was a pro linebacker, had just an unbelievable night, and so did Jamal Adams. And they need these guys to be that kind of player if this team is going to be that good.
Yeah, I was just watching on Twitter, Brian Baldinger, the analyst, tweeted some Jamal Adams plays. You guys should check that out because he breaks down some things that Adams did that were just amazing in terms of blowing plays up you know, near the line of scrimmage. He had a great game. And Lee, to me, you know, if he can play like that, the Jets' defense is different. He is a difference maker then because you expect it from – we saw enough glimpses from Adams last year that you know he's going to be a good player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Leonard is a good player. He doesn't always have the dominant games you want, Joe, I know. But he's a good player. But Darren has been a question mark for 2 years.
No question.
I thought he played better toward the end of last year. But, you know, for him to come up and make plays last night, and not just the interceptions, I think he had three passes defense, too.
Yep.
He blew up.
He dropped another one, too. He had another one. He could have had three in this game. Really?
Yeah. So, you know, if he can be that kind of player, it takes the Jets defense to a different level.
I'll give you another guy on defense who played well, Frankie Louvo.
Oh, my God, he did.
Him?
No, 100%. Yep.
Yeah, he was on cutdown day.
Right.
That was the biggest surprise to me on cutdown day because you could see it in training camp. He didn't do it in the preseason games as much. He had a lot of penalties in the preseason games, but in practice, he was the fastest guy. You could just tell he was the fastest guy off the edge. He was their best shot and edge rusher, and they cut him, which was a little bit of a surprise, but then they brought him back, later in the week with Josh Martin out with a concussion, and I think he had two tackles for loss last night.
He blocked a pass, too.
Yeah.
Batted one down.
Yeah, he was very good.
Down, yeah, he played really well.
And another guy, too, and I pointed him out earlier, was Henry Anderson. I thought he played really well up them. He got pressure up the middle on Stafford.
Yep.
That one play where he and Williams basically beat Stafford up on that one play.
Yeah, the play, the pressure up the middle was on that third down right before halftime.
Right.
And then, you know, Parry Nickerson almost gets the interception there. But, yeah, that pressure was from Henry Anderson. It's a nice – that was kind of an under-the-radar move. They made a trade for him during the draft, and he had a big night for them.
He did.
Here's going to be the key. All right, Todd Bowles been here for a bunch of years, and there's been some really good wins followed up with dubs. And I think we saw that last year. Place is going to be loud on Sunday afternoon. They're facing a division rival. I don't know how good the Dolphins are. Give them credit. They did beat the Titans on Sunday, even though the Titans lost every key player imaginable. They lost their left tackle. They lost their quarterback. They lost their tight end for the season. But still, it was a good win by the Dolphins. Let's see this team not get too full of itself. Because
that's
a fear.
Yep. After they beat the Bills last year, that Thursday night game, when they were all doing the Watusi on the field and all of that.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
And then they played Tampa Bay.
Right,
and
the biggest egg you can lay, you know?
Yeah, no, we've seen it a bunch of times. Tampa Bay, you remember a couple years ago, the Buffalo win on Thursday night.
Yep.
They go out and lose to Kansas City.
Oh, yeah,
The biggest one, obviously, is beating New England in 2015 and 16, and then losing to Buffalo the next week. You know, so we've seen this before. You're right.
Exactly.
Yep, no question
That's
about it.
That's the thing.
Yep.
Let's see him put the foot on the pedal.
Yep. One other thing, too, quickly, just going back to the defense, I think that jumped out at me a little bit, and maybe this is because of Darren Lee, is the speed the defense played with last night.
Yes. Yeah, it was, you know, they said, I'm sure you've seen the quotes after the game, they knew it was coming. You know, they were prepared for what the Lions were doing. They kind of, they knew Stafford's signals, they said. They knew the formations, and I think that helped them play so much faster. It was really a great job by Todd Bowles last night. I know we criticize him a lot, but he did a good job last night. They were really the better team.
They were ready to play. There's no doubt about it last night. Absolutely. Ready to play.
Yeah, he out-coached Matt Patricia last night.
Oh, man. No, easily.
I out-coached him. I was sitting on my couch.
Oh, my God.
It was
Patricia,
awful.
I mean, Patricia... situation kind of reminds me of Mangini early on,
where
I heard a lot of talking to some of the reporters from Detroit last night. This team does not like him. So
yeah, that's what we've heard. Right.
I thought they quit.
No,
you know,
question.
That Isaiah Crowell run.
Oh, they quit on that. No doubt about it. No, they gave up totally. I agree with you.
Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting situation to watch there.
Yep.
Brian, great talking to him.
Great start,
great
Brian.
Talking
great
to
talking to you, man.
Brian Costello on the Jets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.